from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few?
Downtown railway station!
Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal!
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink. And I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Won't you guess my name?
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Hope you had a great day. It was beautiful this morning, Mike. The weather was nice. It felt a little fallish. Football is on the way. And the Braves got it done last night, which we'll talk plenty about. The Falcons are back at practice. But I have to tell you guys today, as we get this show started, there are two things on the top of my mind. One, you're not going to believe what happened to me today.
Oh.
You will not believe what happened. I want you to stay tuned. I will tell you an incredible story coming up on this show later. Two, Mike Bell and I need a raise. Because obviously the midday guys are bowling out. Did you see these guys last night?
Yeah, man, like rock stars. And it was funny because I know I heard them mention they were going to be at the game and I forgot about it. And then I'm watching last night and all I did was I was actually going to send a picture of like, what the hell is Brandon Marsh going for with that look with the oily hair and the hillbilly beard? And I said, is anybody up in Buford who went to school with this guy know what look he's going for? And as I took the picture and I put it up there at Mike Bell ATL, immediately guys go, man, that dude looks like Bunker sitting behind, you know, second row. And I'm like, it is Andy Bunker. And then I said, Carl, as you know, Andy and Randy, guys that were born hard. That's the way you watch. Andy, no dipping dots, no grabbing for nachos.
Yeah.
Focus like a laser right there. In the rich seats where a lot of people goof off and never pay attention.
Oh, this is true.
This was dedication, and you wish you got that all the time from those people in those rich money seats.
All right. You're absolutely right about that. My question is, who paid for those seats? Who paid for those seats?
Well, I believe that through Bo's connection organization.
Whoa. They had a connection.
Well, Bo works right underneath there normally.
Because the way they were all chilling out there in the back row right behind home plate, I was like, obviously, we got to get back into contract talks, Mike. I mean, something is going on here.
Right.
Obviously, Middays is doing something. I was like, I know how much those seats cost. Who paid for those seats?
Well, I do believe now that they've got set the precedent. We got a great win and got up on the good foot. Get up on the good foot with the Phillies. I think that Randy Mack's got to spring for like $3,000 every night now in this series to get back in those seats.
I agree with you. Randy's got to pay for those seats. Obviously, though, they're doing something right. Guy hit me up. He's like, yo, are you and Bell been in those seats? Well, to be quite honest with you, no, we haven't.
I've never sat behind home plate. And again, That's what's always so funny. Whenever I get the tickets, people always think we just get free tickets. No, I mean, yeah, I could get free tickets, but then the people who would give me the free tickets would probably ask a favor of me not to kill the team that dispenses the tickets, which I will never do. So when I'm sitting up there in like section 3 or whatever, and guys are like, why aren't you down there? I go, because I paid for the tickets. I'm a man of the freaking people. Andy and Randy, bougie as hell,
oh,
I gotta be honest.
Very much so. I mean, these guys sitting there, the way they were sipping on their cocktails. I'm just saying.
Right.
Obviously, there's some money being thrown around right there on the midday show. I said I had two things on my mind. There are three things on my mind. Right. It's Dukes and Bell. How big can Abe's head get in a Twitter picture?
Well, you got to frame your shot. And I wasn't trying to be mean-spirited, but he looked like Ben Grimm from the Fantastic Four. I mean,
and I love Abe said, like, I'm sorry about the angle.
No, we've all been there. You got to go with a high angle shot. Otherwise, I mean, it amplifies the chin count. You know, he had about six chins going right there. There's a joke you can't do anymore. People get upset about a phone book, but you get the idea, Carl.
All right. Hey, man, we love you, dude. Obviously, midday guys had a good time at the game, and our Braves did win. Here's the deal. It's funny, and it's not. Ozuna continues to carry this team. And last night, you needed his home run, his solo shot, Mike. Here's the cool thing about Ozuna, guys. He's three home runs away from a second consecutive 40-home run campaign. We talked about this weeks ago where there was this notion like, oh, they'll probably let him go. Why? Mm. It's cheaper to keep Ozuna, bring him back.
Right. There's no reason to not pick up the option.
Hopefully everybody gets healthy, and we'll see how this thing looks in the spring. But the fact of the matter is, if Ozuna's not on this team, I'm going to have a problem. This dude is, again, approaching 40 home runs for the second consecutive year. He's going to join Henry Aaron, Eddie Matthews, Andrew Jones as the only players to achieve such a feat in franchise history. That's pretty elusive. So he, again.
Exclusive, yeah.
Exclusive and elusive from the standpoint of 1, 2, 3 guys have only done it. I mean, that's pretty impressive, Mike. So here's the home run last night. I thought this was the moment in which the Braves felt like, all right, we're going to take control of this game, and they did.
Ozuna. Center field. Goodbye. A big fly for the big bear. 2-1 Atlanta.
Now, you also got a great start from our starting pitcher.
Now, I didn't hear. I thought I had heard this. I had to rewind on the DVR. And yes, Brandon Gaudin on Bally had it right. First time in their history since they've joined the teams together, Schwarber came over, obviously free agent, that Bryce Harper and Schwarber have been struck out three times in three at bats. And you know, that's three rounds, basically, the first, the third, and the fifth inning in any game since they've ever played together. And that's, of course, Ronaldo Lopez. How about that?
It's impressive.
I mean, those are two of the best hitters, one of the best leadoff hitters. Yes, I know he strikes out a lot, but he also puts a lot of balls over the fence, 26 homers for Schwarber. And Bryce has got one of the best eyes in baseball. How about that?
Well, usually you see a guy once, he gets you. Twice, I kind of get a feel for what you're doing. Three times, Mike?
And Schwarber took the sombrero last night. Four strikeouts, including a punch-up, maybe a little bit out of the strike zone. But believe me, after all the bad calls we've had this year, the Braves were due. And then, of course, you know, Laureano. Yeah, Laureano, look, I don't know if he knew what he was doing out there in the outfield, Carl, but he made three spectacular catches. One that was hit right at him that he probably misjudged. The amazing catch down the foul line. And then going over to his right and just like, wow, how about them apples to seal off the ninth inning and get the win?
It was big. And we talked about, you know, Gio Urshela. Whether he was going to impact the game. He did. He actually had an RBI, believe it or not, with the bases loaded. This is what made it 3-1, which was the final score.
He walked it. Three straight walks. And Atlanta has a little cushion.
So Philly's come in here, Mike. And by the way, if you ask me, this is a choke job. We are beat up, banged up. There's no way the Phillies should come in here, and I'm not telling you they take us lightly, but this is a choke job by them. If we end up not only winning this series because we own the season series, but if we end up sweeping these guys, because this is the team, guys, that everybody's saying this is the team to beat in the National League.
Aaron Nola always has success against the Braves. We know that. We really need Max. Carl, we need Max Fried to be dialed in.
Ooh.
We need Max Fried from, like, you know, his most clutch and his most healthy, and hopefully he's both tonight because Aaron Nola always gives the Braves fits. I just thought one of the cool things last night, if you look at the big picture of the series, Alvarado's pitch count, he was all over the place last night, so you probably won't see him again. You definitely won't see him tonight, so if they need him as a setup man. But that was, I mean, a real nip-tuck game. And it really was two great pitchers. And again, we talked about Ronaldo Lopez. Wheeler just made basically one mistake, if we're honest. But yeah, that's hopefully going to let's build on this. How many times have we felt we're going to build on it just to have the rug pulled out from under us? Hopefully tonight it's freed, man. He gets the job done.
Lopez's first start, his first major league outing since July 28th. So we were a little concerned, just saying, hey, is he going to be rusty or not? He was not. He only went five innings, though. And remember I told you, he's approaching his innings total combined over the last two seasons. But he did throw 90 pitches. But 10 strikeouts. Man, dude was good last night. I mean, Mike, by far, this has been the biggest surprise of the season for the Atlanta Braves. It has been Ronaldo Lopez and his ability to not only do what he did last night, but every time he steps in there, he's giving you a chance to win. He has been probably the most consistent guy, obviously outside of Sale. But if I told you before the season started, hey, this is what he's going to do, nobody would have bet that. 404-726-0929. It is our text line, guys. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we're talking about the Braves. And tonight this series continues. And to Mike's point, if Fried gives us a shot, we're going to be all right.
Right.
But he can't.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We can't get to five innings, Mike, and he's giving up 10 hits or something crazy like that tonight.
Yeah, you knew there was going to be a governor on Ronaldo Lopez. You just talked about that because it's first start coming off the DL. It just... Fried's got to look like Fried, you know, pass the eye test. You know, if you get against, if we stay where we're at right now, we're 2.5 up on the Mets who lost yesterday. They were playing right now against Baltimore. But you have a chance to, right now you go up against Milwaukee. And if Ronaldo Lopez pitches like last night, Sale just be Sale. But Fried, can get back to being what he's supposed to be, then you like your chances. And then, look, the Arizona Diamondbacks were the sixth seed last year in the same boat.
Yeah.
They kind of turned on a switch midway through the season. I'm not saying it's plausible with the way this lineup has been decimated, but if Ozzie comes back in a long, long odds that Austin comes back in time to contribute, but still, you give yourself a puncher's chance with the pitching, right?
You absolutely do. It is here, guys, for the taking, believe it or not. And now we are, what, six games behind these guys now after last night?
Six. Yep.
Yeah, it's if you can somehow make it happen, it's there for the taking. It's hard to believe that we're going to find a way to get it done because we've been so inconsistent. But last night, that was a tough, hard-fought dub at Truist Park. And maybe we can do it again tonight. Meanwhile, the Falcons are back at practice, getting ready for their third preseason game on Friday. Falcons taking on Jacksonville. Pre-game's at 5, kicks at 7 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Kirk Cousins, Mike, spoke today. We're going to let you hear some of what he had to say coming up later this hour. And he also talked about the two new signings, because we've not heard from the quarterback about what has happened last week to this football team.
And we saw a video of him at Fins Up at Margaritaville at Lake Lanier going down the water slide. I couldn't believe some of the things I saw on Twitter. Is that really safe? Is that really a good idea?
Come on.
It's a freaking water slide. He's a grown man. Come on.
And it's not the world's tallest water slide either. Okay?
Not like he's hitting terminal velocity as he enters the water, for crying out loud. But having a great time. And we'll talk to our man Steve Weish, because we talk about the Falcons. Get Steve's take on what he thinks these moves make for them. And also, we had that conversation at length yesterday about Tua Tagovailoa's interview with Dan Lepetard and saying that, you know, Brian Flores was just an absolute to him.
Horrible person.
And Steve Weish has some strong opinions on that, too. So we'll get his take on that.
All right. That's going to come up next. Headlines on the way as well, and what Kirk Cousins had to say. Stay right there. We got a big show. And you won't believe what happened to me today.
I can't wait.
Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. Lots of excitement, not only here in the ATL, but around the country about our Falcons. I was just talking to a guy where apparently Arthur Smith said he wants to drop 40 on the Falcons. I haven't heard that, but somebody sent that to me. I said, well, would you want to beat your old team? It's personal for Arthur Smith.
Of course, he thought he had a chance. I mean, it was a very strange ending. Arthur, even at the final press conference, made it sound like he loved him so much. Well, why are you getting rid of him? It was weird. Has that been verified, by the way, that he actually said that? I mean, who's going to say that?
Well, that's the thing. We were around Arthur for 3 years.
Sounds like fake news.
He never would say anything like that to anybody about an opponent. So either way, man, it's going to be interesting week one. Let's talk to Steve Weish, NFL Network's chief national reporter, friend of the show. And of course, Steve, you've been all over this, man. Tell us what you're thinking about this team now that they've added Justin Simmons and, of course, Matthew Judon.
Well, I mean, let's start with Judon, guys. You know, they finally added somebody who occupies the game planning for the week for the other team. Right, they've got somebody who can win off the edge. He can win one-on-one. He can win with power. Very good against the run. Reliable player. So now you have the game plan for this guy. And that's going to open things up schematically for Raheem Morris. I mean, when you see what Raheem Morris does, he's very patient in how he kind of unloads his blitz packages and things like that. But this is going to really set the stage for him, because they've got a guy who can finally win. And we've talked about it. They haven't had that guy since John Abraham. And then when you add Justin Simmons, who's one of my favorite players, right? He's a big safety. He's incredibly smart. Great range, right? You can play him up close in the box if you have to. He's a good free safety. He's got tremendous range. But you don't look at him individually. You pair him with Jesse Bates. You know, and I was talking to Raheem Morris about this a couple days ago. And he's just like, their IQ is through the charts. So the communication that they'll be able to have with all the other players on the field, like, they're not going to allow explosive plays. And that's the biggest thing in the world in defense now. Limit explosive plays. So now you've got guys who can actually cover deep, but also communicate to others as to what's coming. And that's something that gives them a lot more comfort. So overall, defensively, I mean, the Falcons are a much, much better team.
You know, Steve, we just feel with Kirk Cousins, you've got, and the offensive line has been solid, maybe a little bit better at run blocking than pass blocking, but play action, it just seems like we're going to finally tap in to the skill sets of Drake London. Pitts is finally healthy, and of course, Bijan's already shown you what he can do, so it seems like he can be one of the most dynamic offenses in the league.
Well, it could be. I mean, you still have to ask yourself, I mean, when you lose Rondale Moore, okay, who's the number three receiving option? Well, it's Kyle Pitts, right? So it has the potential to be. But I think more than dynamic, you want efficient, right? Kirk Cousins doesn't turn the ball over a lot. That's something that you want. And he also helps put points on the board. So I'm with you. This should finally unveil, you know, Pitt and Bijan and Algier and Drake London. You know, these are players they thought were going to be able to do some things, but because of poor quarterback play the previous two or three years, they haven't been able to unleash these guys. So now there's no excuses. There's absolutely no excuses, because now you have a defense, as we just mentioned, that can get you takeaways, that can force other teams to punt, that can get you an extra possession a game. Now you've got to get the ball in the end zone with all of these targets and with a quarterback who, yeah, he's not going to necessarily be dynamic, but he is going to have the ability to win you games when he gets the ball in the hands of these weapons.
Steve Weiss, NFL Network, carries 8 preseason Week 3 games live starting Thursday with Bears-Chiefs at 8:15 Eastern. How do you feel, and are you surprised that more starters are wanting to play? I just saw something where Russell Wilson said, hey, I want to play in this third preseason game, and apparently he's going to. Are you surprised at what we've seen so far? Has this been on brand for you with the playing time for some of these veterans?
Well, one, as a player, you always want to play, even if it is preseason. You may not want to play all 4 quarters, but you want to play. You know, at the same time, we have seen, and I don't have the data in front of me, but it does seem like more starters are playing in the second and third preseason games. Now, part of that is because more teams have stepped back on these joint practices. If they're having them, they're 1-day joint practices instead of 2-day joint practices. But also, you know, with all the coaching changes and things like that, operationally, you want to get that working, right? You want to get the call from the booth to the headset to the field, things like that. So some minor things you want to get working. But I just think some of these players, like Russell Wilson, he's missed 9 days of camp with that calf injury. He didn't get an opportunity to really do much last week. If you watch that game, he wasn't great in large part because his offensive line got steamrolled. Mm. I mean, every time he dropped back, he had 2 or 3 guys in his face. So I think that's part of why you're seeing more players, more starters play in preseason and wanting to play in preseason, because they know how important getting out of the gate fast is, especially for a team, like you mentioned, Russell Wilson, the Steelers, in the most competitive division in the NFL.
It's our man, Steve Weiss from NFL Network, wickety-wickety Weiss on the 0844.com hotline. It feels like, you know, the NFC, I'm not trying to get on the hype machine for the Falcons, but it just seems like, you know, there will be some teams we weren't expecting to be good, but it does seem a bit top-heavy. It's like 49ers, Eagles, everyone's in love with Detroit right now. And then, you know, the Cowboys haven't shown the ability to win the big one. I know the Packers are certainly, but I just think we if we can just compete, get through that first quarter of the season, because we've got a bear of a start to the schedule. Steelers, Eagles, Chiefs, and Saints.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no reason. Like I said, there's no excuses. And we see it every year. If you like Houston last year, right, they caught teams off guard, then eventually teams like, we got to wake up, and then it was too late because they were rolling. If you get that belief, especially in a new head coach, if you get that belief system going, that changes everything, because the talent is what it is. The talent is there. And now you believe in your leadership to put you in the right positions to succeed, and then that snowball is rolling downhill. And so, yeah, the 49ers are the team to beat, but they've still got to get Trent Williams in camp. Brandon Ayuk's got to figure out what he's going to do. I mean, they're not all the way in place to start the season. The Eagles are loaded. Like you said, the Lions, the Packers. I think Seattle is a team people aren't talking about. The Falcons cannot underrate, you know, a team like Tampa Bay. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is why we play the games, as the old cliche goes, to figure out who can stay healthy.
Right.
And to who can get off, what surprise team can get off to that start where they get the belief, where all of a sudden that belief turns into, you know, productivity, wins, and the momentum to get deep in the playoffs.
Steve, this just in, the Broncos head coach Sean Payton has announced that rookie first-round pick Bo Nix will be the number one QB. He will start week one, and he becomes the first Broncos rookie quarterback to start week one since John Elway. Who, in your opinion, has been the most impressive rookie quarterback so far?
Well, Bo Nix has looked pretty good. You know, think about it. Sean Payton hasn't had too many rookie quarterbacks start. It's hard not to say. It's weird, though, because they've all looked pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, Penix, we only saw him in that one performance. We're not going to see him again in the preseason, but he looked good, right? And so Caleb Williams, the dazzle plays, the spectacular plays, looks amazing. Jaden Daniels looks really good. I mean, the guys I've seen, Jaden Daniels probably. He hasn't had the splash plays of Caleb. But, you know, speaking to people up there, he's doing what they want to see out of him, especially from different formations, you know, from under center, from the pistol, from shotgun. So I'd probably say Jaden Daniels, but all of them, including Drake May, have looked pretty good. And isn't it interesting with Drake May in New England, how Jerod Mayo was like, oh, yeah, Jacoby Brissett. Oh, now it's a competition. Mm-hmm. You know, now we're going to figure out who's going to start. The thing is with New England, their schedule is just so freaking ugly the first 8 or 9 weeks. Just don't know if they'll put him out there out of the gate.
So, man, Steve Wyche and I was going back with you on Twitter yesterday, Steve, because we spent a lot of time talking about Tua Tagovailoa's conversation with Dan Le Batard, and then the subsequent comments from his former head coach talking about up there in Minnesota. And I just felt, and I let you spill your piece on this, that it doesn't help him in the big picture to sit there and revisit something from a few years ago. How does that help him in 2024 to say that his former coach Brian Flores was mean?
Well, this is where I answer a question with a question, like, what does it hurt? I mean, my thing is this. He was asked a question by Dan Le Batard, and I've worked with Dan, and when I worked in Miami, one of the most trusted journalists in the game, right? The guy gets people to tell him things that nobody else does. He's amazing at gaining that trust. So he asked him about it. It was a very strong conversation where it was almost like Tua was unburdening himself.
Right.
These are things that people kind of behind the scenes have known for years. So what he unveiled publicly is not something his teammates, his current and former coaches, his parents, that Brian Flores, like all these guys have known this, right? And so like when Brian Flores got fired as a head coach, it wasn't a matter of wins or losses. It was because his communication with his general manager and his quarterback and things like that. And I know you says it doesn't, you know, it doesn't make Tua look good. Again, all these people who it really matters to, like, they know all this. It is not new. And so, you know, what I responded to you on social media was, you know, look, he unburdened himself. All the time we're asking these players to be more genuine. He was genuine. And now when he does, all of a sudden, oh, this is just going to damage him in the locker room. This is going to make him look soft. I don't think so. I mean, Tua, everyone talks about how hard he was coached by Nick Saban. This dude was coached by his dad. When you hear about his story, I know the family well.
Yeah.
About how hard he was coached growing up in Hawaii and some of the way things he had to do to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, being coached hard is completely different than being coached in a way where coach gets personal. Right? We've had people, a teacher, well, you didn't do well on this test. Oh, because you're dumb or because your sister is. Like, when it gets personal, when it adds a little zinger to it, that changes the dynamic.
We know where Flores got it from. Flores got it from Belichick, and Tom Brady just talked about how his life, you know, Belichick would embarrass him and humiliate him, but he used that as fire and fuel. And I know
did he coach him hard? Did he coach him hard, or did he get personal? We don't know that.
I mean, so I guess nowadays, what do you take personal as a player? You know, I mean, to me, I just think until they start winning playoff games and Coach McDonald has got just one game better record than Flores' last two.
McDaniel,
I just don't. To me, I get your point. You, as a journalist, you want a guy to be open with you, and if it's cathartic, so be it. But if he continues to struggle and they don't win playoff games, people are going to say he's soft. Fair or unfair?
There's nobody who has grown up with Tua, who knows Tua, is going to tell you he's soft. Look at all the injuries this dude has had to overcome.
I mentioned that yesterday, right?
Going to tell you. The people who say he's soft are just people who are the hot takers who listen to that interview and that soundbite. The fact that Brian Flores came out, and I love Brian Flores, right? I've got a great relationship with him, and responded the way that he did. It was, you know, it wasn't him taking the high road. It was almost him being cathartic. Like, yeah, there's things I've learned. You know, I knew I had to work on my relationship building. So he was almost admitting that, yeah, maybe I pushed it a little too far with that one particular player. Right. So that, you know, that's what I'm saying. There are different ways to handle different people. You can't coach everybody the same way. And I'm telling you right now, the last person for being soft and not being able to take stuff is Tua Tagovailoa.
It's fair about coaching guys differently. I'm curious, as we talk about this story, because it's still out there. Steve Wyche, our guest, guys, NFL Network, does a terrific job. Again, NFL Network carries 8 preseason week 3 games live starting Thursday with Bears Chiefs at 8:15 Eastern. How much of this pressure was coming from the front office with him there at that time? Remember, I mean, I know you know this, but I brought the fact up that, you know, the owner was asking him to tank games, allegedly, right? I mean, there was a lot going on in that front office, and do you think that had something to do with the way he handled Tua?
That's a great question. That I don't know. That I don't know, and that's a very fair And that's a great question. Now, I won't say the front office. I mean, Chris Greer, those guys, they wanted Tua, right? They drafted Tua because they wanted him, right? People said, oh, look at Justin Herbert, look at this and that. Well, you know, all things being equal, they're different types of players, but they're on the same track, and Tua's on a better team. But we don't know that, you know, the Dolphins were one of those teams like the Houston Texans a couple of years ago that were just the epitome of dysfunction.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And now they've turned that corner because they've got stability in the leadership. The owner has backed off, and they're letting the football people run the football operation. So, you know, that it might have been a huge organizational shift. And to your point, you know, there could have been some pressures on Brian Flores that we don't know about. But also look at the fact that Flo, again, I love Flo. This is nothing personal against him. He couldn't keep an offensive coordinator on staff.
Sure. Sure.
You know, there were all kinds of things going on, but that may go to your point about there being certain pressures being put on him. That's a part of this that, you know, I hadn't thought about, and I really, in my years of knowing this and the people down there, have not really had a discussion about.
Steve Weiss, it's always a pleasure, man. You know you're one of our favorites. Continue to crush it, by the way. You've been doing a great job, you know, with this preseason and the camp coverage and all of that. I just can't wait till we get to the games, man. I'm ready to get to the game, Steve.
I feel you guys. You guys, thanks for having me on. It's always great.
Man, appreciate you. I only asked that question because I said this to you yesterday, Mike. When you have this dysfunction going on with the owner, right, and this quarterback is not necessarily your quarterback, okay, what you wanted to do at that particular time, I think it adds pressure. But to Steve's point, we don't know if that's what led to the treatment. I agree with him about the language. And a guy just asked me about Nick Saban. Listen, I don't think anybody who's played for Nick Saban or knows Coach Saban would say that he coaches soft. But you handle guys differently. And if you're telling me Brian Flores was MFing him and cussing him out and calling him names, then Tua's got every right to feel whatever way he did. That's not the impression I got. I just felt like he wasn't handling the criticism, Mike, of playing quarterback, to your point about our game with them down there where he threw two crucial picks.
Yeah, I mean, look, you said yesterday you thought he was soft.
I do.
I think that this doesn't help. I'll agree to disagree with Steve. And said it yesterday. No one questions the physical toughness of Tua because he has taken a pounding in the last 2 years in Alabama when he's dealt with the concussions. But I'll say it again. How does this help you moving forward in 2024 with that team?
Interesting stuff. We're coming back. You know who spoke about what the Falcons have been doing and how he feels about it? Our quarterback, Kirk Cousins. You'll hear him as part of our headline segment next. It is Dukes and Bell. This hour brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com. I'm going to tell you coming up in a little bit later what happened today. You will not believe what happened today to me. All right, I'm going to tell you.
And I can't get this out of him during the commercial breaks because Lord knows I've tried the last two times.
You have. And it was traumatizing. It was exciting. It was I was scared at the same time, but I was very excited. I mean, all of these emotions ran through me. You will not believe what happened today.
Was there a Bigfoot sighting in East Cobb?
You might as well say that, right? You won't believe it. Hey, thanks to Steve Weiss. Interesting guy says, do you guys think Nick Saban was soft? No, we don't. We said that. Bottom line is this is one of those conversations that's going to go on. But let me tell you what erases all of this. And Tua's sharing that, and I think Brian Steve Weiss said, the people that need to know or the people that knew this already, this wasn't a big deal to them. And that's fine. Maybe a lot of people already knew that this was the situation when Flores was in Miami.
Right.
But, you know, we talk about bullying so much these days, Mike. Whether it's adults, okay, kids, it doesn't matter. And we've become so much more aware of it. I got to tell you guys, growing up, I think it was an everyday occurrence that bullying happened. And nobody, not saying it was right, but like nobody reacted the way they do now. This feels like what Tua was saying he was being bullied, right, by his head coach. And if that is the case, then, yeah, Brian Flores was wrong. But the fact of the matter is all of this goes away when Tua starts to win. Win playoff games, go to Super Bowls, whatever it's going to take, right, because they're paying everybody on that team. And, Mike, nobody, to your point, guy said, tell Mike if he goes to Super Bowl, then nobody cares. Of course, winning a race is everything, but he hasn't done that.
Guys, like, I get it. We're in this new era now where everybody's in touch with their feelings, so be it. I mean, you know, we talked about it yesterday. I get where Flores is coming from. He watched Belichick abuse Brady. Yep. Brady's on record. Now, look, not everybody can be motivated that way. We said it yesterday. Some guys, it's a pat on the back. Some guys, it is a kick in the ass, because you need to get, sometimes guys need that. I know I needed that as a player when I was in high school. But to me, all I'm saying is, how does this help you? You feel better now? You got this out of your system? I mean, I don't think, doesn't help you. In the court of public, I mean, now there's folks out there, I don't know what the pie chart would say, 60, 40, 50, 50. All I'm saying is, tell it to your wife, tell it to a shrink. I don't think you need to tell it on the radio.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you, until you win the big one, people will. I'm not saying it's fair or it's right. I'm just saying that, you know how the world it works, you know how the media works, how the Skip Baylesses of the world and all the argument talk shows work.
Absolutely. Mental softness versus physical softness are two different things.
Right.
My tolerance of pain versus yours is two different things.
And no one debates his toughness.
Correct.
Physical toughness.
But the mental aspect of this and how much that plays into football is a big deal. I tweeted this out today and put him up. See Dukes, follow Mike at Mike Bell ATL. Peyton Manning was asked about his top five quarterbacks. And, of course, number one is Patrick Mahomes. But Peyton Manning said quarterbacks, quote, need to be coached hard. Andy Reid coaches Patrick Mahomes hard, and that's good for Patrick. And it's bad for NFL defenses. That's coming from one of the all-time greats. You think Andy Reid's a softy? You think he's been so... Like, everybody just feels like Patrick Mahomes shows up and says, hey, this is what we're doing.
Right. I'm going to draw something up in the dirt, basically, during the long TV timeout, and we're going to make this work. Sometimes it looks that way.
It doesn't happen, man. Right. So, anyways, more on this to come with our NFL Blitz. We'll take you around the league. As we said, the Broncos make a decision on their quarterback. Big O's behind the glass. He's doing all the things today. Turtle's got the night show, so he'll be here at 7. Big O, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Well, let's hear from our quarterback, because he has finally been asked questions about the new additions to our Falcons. And Mike, he says he's getting ready for week one. But first and foremost, he was asked about how he can help the offensive line in pass protection. I thought this was interesting.
Yeah, I think snap counts really important. I think, you know, you certainly want to, you know, Trent Williams used to tell me hot potato. You know, so you don't want to hold on to it forever. You don't want to be a habitual ball holder. I'll also tell him in the huddle sometimes, hey, guys, this one's a ball holder. So, you know, not that you were going to cut corners, but just so you know, that extra last shove may make the difference. So I don't know if that scares them or if that helps them, but you try to tell them, hey, this one's a ball holder or whatever it may be. Or, hey, jump set the guy. I'm going to get the ball out quick here. Jump set him, get hands down. So you try to have that good communication, and I just want feedback too. I want to be available, go down there. Hey, what are you guys feeling? Are they jumping the cadence? Are they, you know, do we need to run the ball more? What, you know, I can help be a voice too to the coaches if you got anything. So try to get their feedback all the time and make them feel comfortable to share what they need.
I mean, it is like an unintentional line there to be.
You don't want to be a habitual ball holder.
That's great. That is great.
I love this guy, man. Every time he speaks, it's absolute gold. It really is.
Here is Cousins talking about the newest additions to our Falcons, guys. And, of course, these signings happened, right? And then we went into the weekend. We knew they weren't going to play in the preseason game. They came back. They got a practice in. They practiced today. How does the quarterback feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, I've played against both of them and watched a lot of tape of both of them as you know, watch defenses around the league. And, you know, they're both, you know, real deal players. So we're thrilled to get them. I think they'll be a great asset. And, you know, it's just, we just got to get them up to speed quickly so that they're really comfortable and can play fast. That's the key, is that you're so comfortable that you can really play really fast when you see things, you go, because you know what you need to do.
Yeah, man, again, if you provide that pocket, and I also think just the way we're going to run the football, Zach Robinson, the play action should open up so much stuff. I mean, you're going to pick your poison as a defense. And that's where we – and it's funny because I know listeners are going, didn't you and Carl have the same conversation about the mismatches we're going to get last year? Never got them because the quarterback couldn't do everything on schedule.
Correct.
There were plays to be made last year. Even Kyle Pitts at 75% was open, but we just couldn't get the ball out, you know. But now you got a guy that will to these great athletes.
Yeah, and remember what Bijan said early in the offseason about how the ball gets there. I think these guys realize.
I was like, man, this dude he's legit.
Exactly. and the ball gets there unlike it did last year, in a timely fashion and when it's supposed to. Mike used the word on schedule. That's what they talk about all the time, man. You got to be moving, and it has to be out of your hands. It's Dukes and Bell. Headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live. Live well, as we're talking about the Falcons getting back to work today. One other thing from Cousins, and again, NFL Blitz is on the way, and we will get a chance later in the show to talk to one of our favorite guys going around the league as well. We talked to Steve Weiss this hour. Coming up, we will hear from Lorenzo Carter, who the Midday guys caught up with, but Ian Valentino, Mike, NFL analyst for the 33rd team.
Right.
does a great job, and we'll kind of break down some of the stuff we've been looking at around the league. Here's Cousins. He says he's preparing for week one.
Yeah, I think we'll obviously have a lot of time to start on Pittsburgh, so get started, get familiar with their personnel, the changes they've made, try to talk scheme. You know, scheme is tough because of the changes, so but try to talk scheme as best you can, and you do have a lot of time, and then it's a question I need to ask our head coach, you know, hey, what how do you want to best use the time next week as far as practice goes, and kind of see what he wants to do with it, because that's the way it is. You kind of do have a lot of time now. It used to be a fourth preseason game next week, and now you don't have that. So got to cover a lot of ground, but we do have a lot of time, and it's this balance of, like, pacing yourself while also trying to get to work, and, you know, because we don't want to do is get to Friday before the Steelers game and you're almost worn out with how long you've been talking about him.
Makes sense. I mean, it is a long time. You ideally would like to go from this preseason. This is why they had four, by the way. You go from that last preseason game, and it was game time. It was week, you know, week one is right here. Mike, you basically have 10 days or so to kind of figure things out, give some guys some rest, but you're still practicing. How much do you focus on this Steelers first game? You know, what else are you installing if you want to do that? He's right. You don't want to spend 10 days this on the Steelers, and all of a sudden you get to, you know, day six, and you're like, dude, we got it.
I know that we'll spend more time on the Steelers coming up in the NFL Blitz, because that quarterback thing, and then we'll hear what Russell Wilson has to say about maybe some more snaps in the preseason. But yeah, I mean, it's not as scary. We've talked about, we mentioned with Steve Weiss, that first quarter of the season. You know, we used to have quarters, now it's 17 weeks of the match. You get the idea. But I mean, you beat the Steelers. That's, now we're, speaking of schedule, now we're ahead of schedule, right?
Yes.
Because I don't know how many Falcon fans anticipate, you know, beating Philadelphia in Philly, unless there's some strange injuries or travel issues after they come back from Brazil. But that's a tough game, because we struggle up there historically, because it's just a tough place to play for a lot of teams in Kansas City. But I mean, if we come out and we just look like the team we think we're going to be, especially on the defensive side, getting pressure, getting those guys out of their comfort zone. Because last year, Carl, we got beat because our defense couldn't squash quarterbacks when they started moving around. And all we get the first 3 weeks are quarterbacks that move around.
Yeah, that's going to be key, which is why adding Judon was a big deal. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Braves win last night. Can we make it two in a row against these Phillies? Again, I went into this series, I asked you guys what should my expectations be with the injuries and all the concerns we have. Well, do what you did last night, Mike, and all of a sudden you've won another series against the Phillies. You're six out. By the time this is over, could we be four out of first place in the division?
That's crazy talk, man.
It is, but it's possible. Hey, coming up, NFL Blitz, our former coach speaks. What did he say? Wait until you hear it next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.